When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Maryland sports fans, there's only one sports book in the great state of Maryland with over 50 years experience booking bets and supporting customers. Betfred Sportsbook at Longshots is now open and is the only sports book in Frederick offering cash betting on football, basketball, world soccer, and more. Visit the Betfred Sportsbook at I-270 and MD-85 in Frederick, right next to Longshots off-track betting. Go to betfredsports.com for more information and your chance to win exclusive merchandise. Must be 21 or older. Play responsibly. For help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, friends. Thanks for listening. We really appreciate it. We are now in part four of our Alice Cooper era series, and we are covering the comeback era, which goes from 86 to 91. And that is going to be Constrictor, Raise Your Fist and Yell, Trash, and Hey Stupid. So I'm joined today by special guest Rob, who is a friend of the show and a friend of mine for many years. Say hello, Rob.
Hey, everybody. What's going on?
So, why don't you, he's also, I should mention, he was on our epic, groundbreaking interview with Bruce Kulick, correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yep, had a blast. That was awesome.
That was definitely our highest ranked episode so far as listenership. But I got to tell you, it has been so rewarding to see the number of listens we've had on these Alice Cooper episodes. And from all over the world, we see people liking us on our page from Germany, from UK, from Sweden, from everywhere. So it's really cool that we found that audience. So
you guys have definitely hit a nerve, and I think you're filling a void along with Decibel Geek and Rock Strikes 10 and those kind of shows, showing that obviously rock is not dead and people do want to hear it. So I think it's awesome and the show's great. So
well, thank you. You're also a very heavy critic, so I always lean on Rob to find out if an episode has sucked or not. Correct.
I like to give feedback.
I'm not just rough feedback.
Yeah, I do not mince my words.
No, you do not. But anyway, so I hope to criticize your debut on this show. Other than
looking forward to it.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, why don't you give a quick summary of what makes you famous?
Famous. I've known Loose Cannon for quite a long time, measured in decades.
Yes.
We've done some previous endeavors on the internet in different ways before. Right now, I am a writer on my own pop culture blog, I guess, along with another buddy of mine, Jack Burton. It is Criticult. It's Criticult. It's all one word. It's easiest if you just Google it because it's on WordPress and the address is stupid.
Right.
Yeah, a couple of my posts have been reposted on the Cobras and Fire Facebook page. So, you know, check it out and let me know what you think.
Just pretty much like a summary of pop culture, music, movies, books, everything.
Yeah, like I did one on Force Awakens and just whatever basically strikes my fancy that I want to write about. It's kind of no big deal, just kind of a hobby. So
exactly. So Yeah, I know you wanted to be part of this episode, and why don't you kind of break that down and kind of give a summary of the era and things like that to kick it off.
As I said, you know, big fan of the show anyway, and have been listening to all the episodes leading up to this, the other three, and have really enjoyed listening to the songs I had never heard before, and had went back and listened to them on Spotify and enjoyed the ones that people were choosing as these the only ones of the albums that are the quote unquote shitty ones.
Yeah. Why don't I jump in real quick? What was kind of your gateway in?
Actually, it was with Friday the 13th Part 6. Jason Lives, the greatest of the Friday the 13th movies. I think no one would deny that.
Sure, why not?
Which came out in 86. And that was around the time Constrictor obviously came out with the song Man Behind the Mask, which was the end credit song to Friday the 13th Part 6 with Alice Cooper basically singing about Jason Voorhees, which I love cheesy metal songs about horror movies. It's like that and Dawkins' Dream Warriors.
Yep.
Just hilarious, awesome, stupid, cheesy. I just love them. And I thought that song – and I was, you know, 12, 13 years old when it came out. I thought that was just an awesome ending for a really funny, you know, good movie.
Yep.
And Alice actually had two songs in that movie because he had that and he had Teenage Frankenstein.
Were they playing that in the mobile?
The RV kill.
Right.
Yeah, which is like the best scene in the movie. And it was a really impactful because they're playing it the whole time and the girl's getting killed in the back and she gets her head shoved through a wall and you're just like, oh, God. And then the driver – as it's playing the song, Jason jams a knife through his skull and it stops and you hear the echo of Alice singing Teenage Frankenstein and all the music stops and that name, that word just echoes. I'm a teenage Frankenstein, the local freak with a twisted mind. I'm a teenage Frankenstein, these ain't my hands and these legs ain't mine. Got a synthetic. Got some scars and a brace. My hands are rough and bloody. I walk into the night, women faint at the sight. I ain't no cutie pie. I can't walk in the day, I must walk in the night. Stay in the shadows, stay out of the light. All my soul is divine, is my head screwed on tight? I spent my whole life burning.
So kind of what was your first because it wasn't the greatest hits. It wasn't the old school. Your first album was it trash or was it?
It was trash, really. I mean, it's like I dug that, but I wasn't really into going out. I mean, I was still, you know, pretty young, you know, when that was going on.
Limited
I wasn't,
budget.
I really do like it. The one I like least is probably the song Trash with John Bon Jovi on it.
But
I still like that song. It's just because it's a little bit different, but it's got a little bit more looser feel to it.
Well, plus, I mean, Bon Jovi has a very good question at the end of it, and that is, if my love was like a lollipop, would you lick it? I mean, what the hell?
Yeah.
That was all the way to the peak of
cream-filled center, I think is what Alice
says. Yes, I think so.
I don't know. I do love the whole thing. Yeah, and then Hey Stupid also, which is, I think Trash is better. Hey Stupid is sprawling. He's got so many guest stars and writers. It's still a good album. I just think there's a little bit more of the B-sides on it than
filler.
Trash.
Yeah.
Which I think is, you know, straight out just a great rock record.
I actually went back after talking right before this. I went back and I deleted Hurricane Years and Little by Little, and it takes it down to 10 tracks. It's actually better. Like that and I could probably throw out – I don't know, one more and everything like that. But if you could put it down to like 9 or 10, it's actually pretty solid.
I would agree. And those are the two I would lose. They
not good.
There's not much going on with them. Dirty Dreams is one that it's okay, but it's one of those that just glosses by. I couldn't hum it now if I tried.
Right.
And I listened to it literally yesterday twice.
Exactly. Yeah, that second half, and then of course the finale.
Oh God, yeah. If we're gonna choose, my favorite song is "Wind Up Toy," by far.
For the era.
Yeah, Trash overall is my favorite album, but "Wind Up Toy" is easily one of my favorite songs by Alice, right up there with "Billion Dollar Babies." I can listen to that song over and over again.
I just got to tell, oh, that was disgusting. I got to tell you a quick story. Oh my God, it's still happening. Please, God. I think I just died on this podcast. So I might cut that out. I might leave that in, just depending on if it's
who knows. Hey, fucking go with it.
But yeah, I don't know if you recall this, but both of us went to the fine institution of Purdue University, and
yes, we did.
I don't know if you were in my class or not, but there was an assignment where you had to say what you're going to do in the future, and it was worth 1% of your grade, and it was such a dumb assignment that I actually basically said, "Here's what I'm going to do," and I ended it with the last verse of "Wind Up Toy."
I remember that.
And I turned it in, and I remember my professor basically he was like, "What the hell is a student?" He was like scared to death and wrote a letter to I think it
would
was
that
like,
be the they come here every night, I see them, don't you see them?
Yes, and I'm gonna take away my ball now or something. I have to go now, it's bedtime. Yeah, exactly. I put that on there and I think I scared the teacher.
The reason I choose "Wind Up Toy" is there's a lot going on with that song. It is a amazing song. Joe Satriani does the solo in it, and it's got that cool throwback to "No More Mr. Nice Guy," where he sings about all these authority figures that are condemning him.
Yeah, why?
Preacher crucifies me. Warden wants to fry me. It's got that same thing to it for something that's obviously horrific that he did, but don't know what it is. So he's in a mental institution for it. It's a little bit different from where his normal is, because it's not about getting out and doing all these things. It's about the aftermath of it. And it talks about how he's basically been thrown away. He's drugged out of his mind. He's electroshocked, and he's just left to rot inside a mental institution. And it's just really fucked up.
Which on the same token, only Alice is one of the only artists that can pull that off in a way that still kind of has that sneer and that sense of humor. You don't take it too seriously, sort of, at the same time for me.
Yeah, but at the same time, that song has some of the creepiest still lyrics, where he does the "All my friends live on the floor, tiny legs and tiny eyes." And then he says, "They're free to crawl under the door, and someday soon, so will I." And
it's just that's what I'm saying.
Holy shit.
It's phenomenal.
It's a weird song. And he, as he's singing it, you've got this really big production on it, and then you've also got this little boy's, or who's supposed to be a little boy's, voice occasionally comes in and echoes behind it.
Kind of Steven, or whatever they want to call
it. It is Steven. I mean, you find out at the end of it, Steven echoing back to "Welcome to My Nightmare." But the cool thing about that is you get the idea that this is not a man. This is a child.
Right.
That's just basically Alice is his persona. And one of the favorite parts in it is the kind of bridge, where he's, "I'm lost in a nightmare, shiny white house, drawing rats on the wall." And he sings it, and then at the end, he, with the chain to my cell, got my own private hell, he just kind of roars it. And it's one of the only times in the song where he really kind of, that rage and anger comes through. It's just a really phenomenal vocal performance from Alice on that song. It's just a fucking badass song. There's no way around it.
Voices come from down the hall.
I hear you drinking something there. What do you got there? What are you drinking?
Well, for the occasion, I thought I would get into my private stash of one of only two bottles left of Zombie Dust from Three Floyds. So I am drinking one of those delicious libations.
Possibly in all of Indiana, too.
It could be. That's some bitch is harder to find than gold. Yeah.
Okay, why don't we end with you basically kissing her ass about what a spectacular podcast we have, and we'll go into the rest of the discussion with Baco and Joey. You have anything to say on that?
The Cobras and Fire, bringing the rock back, digging it up, unearthing it, if you will, putting it on the shelf, directing everyone's nice eyes and, yes, and ears, and demanding to witness the rock that is there, because it is out there, kids, and up to you to find it. You got to dig. You got to get out with your trowel and with your hoe and your spade, and your get out and you get to it, and your hoe. Well, mainly done. Your hoe. Your yes, hoe will help find the rock.
Well done. I think that was an excellent summary. And that's it. All right, everybody. Here is the rest of part 4 with Baco, Joy from Rock Strikes 10, and yours truly. Just can't wait for a picnic in spring.
just get nauseous when I think of those things. You wait and wait and you wait for a lifetime for a little piece of cake in the nighttime, yeah. You wait and wait, you can't wait any longer. You wait and wait, couldn't be any longer, no. Give it up! Give it up! Give it up! Give it up! You shop around for a sensible car. You hold your breath when you wish on a star. Some babies with your warm little spouse. Oh, how nice. You wait and wait and you wait for a lifetime for a little piece of cake in the nighttime, yeah. You wait and wait, you can't wait any longer. You wait and wait, couldn't be any wronger, no. Oh, give it up.
Good?
All right. Yeah. Okay. I'm ready. I'm ready this time. Thanks again for having me on, guys.
No, I'm going to start from the top real quick. We'll just flow it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Fine. It's less editing for me.
Paco's, he's hard to work with.
Paco's used to this.
I have a trick for you, by the way, Lou. I only give away tips to people I like.
Continue on with your tips.
Yell something really loud. That way, when you're editing it, you see the big spike and you know where to start from. So go ahead.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. I'm your host, Lewis Cannon, along with the constrictive Baco. Who are you, sir?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm excellent. And today we are joined with Joey, from the Rock Strikes 10 podcast. How are you?
I'm great, guys. Thanks once again for having me on. I love the show. I only go on shows I like. Thanks for having me come on and talk about Alice Cooper. And I'm really excited that this is my gateway era now.
So, Baco, since it sounds like this is also your gateway era, right?
Well, not gateway, but let's just say I've definitely absorbed more of this than the previous years.
Cool. So why don't you kick it off, tell kind of break down where this era starts and ends, and give us your favorite and least favorite and all that good stuff.
All right. Well, we're talking about the 80s, kind of the comeback era for Alice, starting with Constrictor, I think it was 86, and then Raise Your Fist and Yell, and then, of course, Trash, which kind of blew him back onto the music scene, at least, from a larger point. And then Hey Stupid, and that's where we're ending, right? After that,
we correct, were, yeah.
All right. I thought, it was weird because I was still kind of dealing with a little bit of I always respected Alice Cooper, but I never really kind of got totally back into him even during this period. But I still, Constrictor and Raise Your Fist and Yell were very much in the vein of music that I listened to, so I had to have those. Trash I didn't like as much, and then Hey Stupid, I think it's a pretty good record. But why don't we kick it to our guest to kind of give us a little more detail into this. Joey, what did you think about this here?
No, thanks, Baco. Like I said, this is where I came in. This is the first released album by Alice where I was aware of his existence, and I was super intrigued. I'd already heard He's Back, like I talked about on the first part there.
From the Friday the 13th Part 6 soundtrack.
Yeah, Jason Lives. Yeah, Jason Lives. That's I like that movie, too, by the way.
That's actually the only Friday.
There's not a bad one of the franchise.
Excuse me?
Oh my
Lord.
Have you seen 7 and 8 and 9 and 10?
I own every one of them.
I love...
You must watch them like Sharknado, though. You have to.
Do I own Sharknado?
No, I'm saying you must watch them
like you're watching Sharknado. Yeah.
Okay.
You intend them satirically is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I've taken alcohol to many of them.
Sometimes I'll say that Jason Lives is the one that actually I think knows it's a campy movie.
Yeah, I think that might have been the first one that kind of embraced it.
You're with your baby, and you're parked alone on a summer night. You're deep in love, but you're deeper in the woods. You think you're doing all right. Did you hear that voice? Did you see that face? Or was it just a dream? This can't be real, that only happens, babe, on the movie screen.
Speaking of Jason Lives, though, Hard
Kane
Rock
Hodder
Summer
was the best. What's that?
Hard Rock Summer should have been on Constrictor. I have no idea why they would cut that song off. It's more catchy than almost anything on this record.
Hard Rock Summer!
As a, you know, as a matter of looking back and youth is good, I do like Constrictor with like a thumbs in the middle, kind of going downish a little bit
right
at this point in retrospect. But
well, some of the songs are so, they're very silly and it's hard to take serious. And I don't think I was at a stage in my life that I could accept it the way it was intended, because now I listen to many of these songs. Like Thrill My Gorilla and
I can't listen to that song.
Thrill My Gorilla is the worst Alice song that's on an album I like.
I think that you might be
Oh,
right.
That on an album you like or on an album and you like the song?
No. Like as far as Alice albums, yeah. I have a least favorite of all time and I like no songs on it, and we haven't gotten to that one yet.
Okay.
But as far as Alice albums that I do like, or at least thumbs in the middle like, this is the worst song on any of those albums. Thrill My Gorilla is like how Kiss fans look at, you know, I don't know, Burn Bitch Burn or She's So European is how I view Thrill My Gorilla. It's fucking awful.
The fact that you picked those two Kiss songs explains what I'm about to say a little bit better. Thrill My Gorilla made the three songs that I picked for this era.
Oh my God, you like Throw My Gorilla?
I do!
Where were you when the monkey hit the fan? Throw My Gorilla! Where were you when monkey turned to man? Throw My Gorilla!
my Lord, Baco.
Great American Success Story is better than that song. That song's terrible. And that song's terrible.
Since we're on this now.
It was third, okay?
Yeah.
Better than Poison.
No. Anyway, so going back to Constrictor as an album, this album.
I finally get a debate going.
Yeah, I mean, this album was one of them I came into later, too. I mean, I had like Trash and actually I never had Trash. I just listened to it at a buddy of mine's. But Hey Stupid, and then went back to this. And there's a couple that part of this is when Kip Winger showed up, right? Because you can hear his background vocals.
Yeah, he's on the whole thing, playing all the bass, and you know, he's definitely a huge part of the band. Kane Roberts, I honestly, you know, love me some Alice, but Kane Roberts definitely carries this album in a certain way. He definitely did co-write a lot of the album too. And his solos definitely make up for a couple of songs that aren't all that great. So
yeah, I mean,
at least he came through when Alice didn't.
The other song
he's not with Warner Brothers at this point anymore, correct?
Yeah, he's on MCA. MCA picked him up for Constrictor, and MCA only had him for these two records, this and Raise Your Fist and Yell. Yeah. Oh, sorry, and Trash. Trash was epic. My bad. Yeah, just these two records. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, this is kind of the whole thing where I'm going to play a little bit of that.
I'm going to
punch that in a little bit just to see how long people
get on the block. My head made a rock. You're telling me that's not worse.
I think that sounds better.
It's not good, but it's better than Throw My Gorilla.
Yeah, no, it's
Teenage Frankenstein should never have been a single. It's cheesy. Both of his songs that have the word Frankenstein in it aren't all that great.
No, they really aren't. I don't get the whole. We'll get to that in a second. But
yeah,
totally. I can just say it. Now, does everybody know? I assume Joey does. But Baco, do you know that "Feed My Frankenstein" is just a cover, almost a note for note cover of Zodiac Mind Warp?
Which song?
"Feed My Frankenstein."
Right. No, you said "Feed My Frankenstein." Which Zodiac Mind Warp song?
"Feed My Frankenstein."
Yeah.
Is that on the whatever their debut record?
I don't know, but I just know that it's on YouTube. But they hit, because I remember getting the Hey Stupid album and it said Alice Cooper / Zodiac Mind Warp. I'm like, what the fuck? What does that even mean? He's changed like three words, but it's exactly it's like the God same
gave,
song.
It's more straight ahead than God Gave Rock and Roll to You, Part Two.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, it has less changes than that. Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, it was probably a good career move for Zodiac Mind Warp. That record by them is brilliant, by the way.
Good record.
I
Besides He's Back, which is a childhood favorite, but going back to that album, when I finally went back to that album, and it took me years to go back to it because I wanted to have a good memory of it still, but Life and Death of the Party is a gem. That is the true gem on the record, in my opinion.
That's a good one. And my other one is definitely dripping in 80s, but I like Crawling. And I think part of it because of that I can hear the chorus on it. That one's really catchy to me.
Yeah, that should have been the single over Teenage Frankenstein.
100%. That's definitely a single.
Yeah.
Your hair is tangled and your lipstick is gone. Stretched out, calling my name with just your eyes on. We caught each other on our hands and our knees. Well, I'm an alley cat and you're a hot little Siamese. But what's that?
Okay, so, Baco, you want to hammer down your favorite, least favorite?
Because
you kind of started.
Then we I'll go Raise Your Fist and Yell, I think, is my favorite record of this era. Hmm. And since our guest might walk out, my actual pick for song, although I think we moved the timeline, it's going to come back to me for a song, because when I did this, I think I had... The Last Temptation of Alice Cooper in this and Lost in America's on that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, come back to me. I'll pick a different song.
Okay, go ahead.
We still haven't even covered all the other three albums. I think they're worth noting.
We
could talk some more about that before we get into favorites, and if that's cool.
Sure.
Raise Your Fist and Yell is kind of different from when I talked about the Brother Sister records, where like one follows the other and maybe the one that follows it isn't quite as strong. Song for song, Raise Your Fist and Yell, even though it is super campy and super cheesy, and I think Alice is very aware of this because it's kind of like, I'm a slasher film now.
Right.
But there is a very decent and probably possibly maybe even a little desperate attempt at covering Welcome to My Nightmare again with that threefer at the end of the album, which starts off with Chop, Chop, Chop. Not a great song.
No, but I just love the title that it had to put through. Yeah, Chop.
Brilliant title.
There's not many songs that have more than one comma or a comma.
Yeah. So you got Chop, 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 and then goes into Gale, and then it ends with Roses on White Lace, which is a better song than Chop, 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 at least. But the effort was there, and of course Gale is like years ago part two from Nightmare easily.
Yeah.
So there are certain things about Raise Your Fist and Yell that works way better than Constrictor. And you got, and it's the same band. You got Winger.
I think it's a much better.
You got Ken Roberts, Ken Mary. And and Freedom is a super strong song. Another thing that should have been big on rock radio, and it wasn't. I saw it on Headbangers Ball like twice. But yeah, it's a stronger album than Constrictor, easily, I think.
No, absolutely, I agree. And yeah, it's the same lineup and everything, but I'm not that big of a fan of this album, but I will say that it's better than Constrictor for Freedom Alone. I'd never even, this is again one of these that just I didn't have, and part of it was, you know, these two covers of album covers, I do not think helped them, because compared to the other stuff that came out at the same time, it just looked a little cheap and cheesy just to me.
The Constrictor's album cover is way better. I'll give you
that. You think so? I think both of them have.
It's so ridiculous, but it's way better than the Drawn Hand.
Yeah,
I mean, it worked at the time. I think it worked a little better at the time. It looks terrible now.
Yeah,
the snake thing is just funny. It's like one of those weird exploitation covers you see like on the bad cover compilations out there.
But, I think I assimilate these records together so much because I confuse the covers in my head. But yeah, the Constrictor is where he's like eating the snake and his face on a fist or something like that on the race.
Joe, you can qualify this. What the hell was Prince of Darkness? That was like half of both albums or some kind of, what was that? Was that for the movie or what was that for?
Well, I think it was written for the movie specifically.
I'm not talking about the song. I'm talking about the album, that they had like an album called Prince of Darkness.
Prince of Darkness is a contractual obligation for MCA. It's the best of those two records.
Okay.
It's like, you know, honestly, that's not a bad way to go, you know?
Yeah.
And they throw in a quote-unquote live version of Billion Dollar Babies in the middle of it.
Right.
Which is basically when he re-recorded Generation Landslide for Special Forces, which is a highlight easily of that record.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I forgot that was on that. You're right.
It's a poor man's sequel because the original is so amazing, but at least it's better than anything else that's on that record. But
correct.
He did a similar thing with Billion Dollar Babies, but that live version on Prince of Darkness of Billion Dollar Babies is really cool. So you want to put a little shine coat on Billion Dollar Babies if you're a little bored with it. Check out that version. It's really cool.
I will. Like that's the one that I just was bizarre when I looked at the track listing, but now I'll look it up online.
Yeah. For completists only.
But we keep bouncing around. Do you have your favorite yet, Baco?
Well, it was going to be either Hey Stupid or Freedom. I think after listening to you guys talk, I'll go for Freedom.
Excellent. That was my pick, too, for this era as well, so that makes it easy.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, stop pretending that you've never been bad. You're never wrong and you've never been dirty. You're such a saint. That ain't the way we see you. You are the rulers with an iron hand. You change the lyrics and become Big Brother. This ain't Russia. You ain't my dad or mother. They never knew anyway. Cause I never walk away from what I know is right. But I'm gonna turn my back on you. Freedom!
fist and yell.
There's not a lot to talk about trash in this. You know, it's the big comeback. I mean,
Poison. I don't really get it, though. That seemed, I don't know. It just seemed manufactured.
Well, I mean, it was, everything about it was blatant. I mean, like, even he
said. No, I meant the comeback. Yeah, like, it just seemed anticipated. Like, this is going to happen, whether people like it or not. People are going to like it.
Well, I mean, the constrictor was the comeback. I mean, the attempt.
It was the sober comeback. I mean, like, it was him coming back to the stage, coming back and putting out an album that, you know, had a better push, you know, because Warner had given up on Alice when he had given up on himself.
Right.
So at least MCA gave a little bit of a push, but MCA, you know, they didn't they may not have even had like that kind of money to market him. But
yeah, that's
now
a good point.
It's night and day with Trash, because you got Sony, one of the biggest labels in the world. You got Desmond Child co-writing
every song and producing it.
Yeah, and then you got people like
He wrote all 10 songs, and I just think that basically is a Desmond Child album. I wonder how much Alice was involved with it versus it. You know what I mean? Tons of guest stars. That was the thing.
You can definitely hear his cynicism is still in this record, but right. I think he was being steered more for sure stylistically. Absolutely. But it's like, let's see if we can make a Bon Jovi production with Alice, you know, with the Alice sneer. I mean, even bringing in Bon Jovi. I mean, basically almost everybody in Bon Jovi guests on this album at one point or another, you know. But and that's not me bashing the record. It's a sign of the times. Everybody was using Desmond Child. If Aerosmith can come back from nothing and score hits with Desmond Child, of course Alice is going to work with him. Or, no, of course, the label is going to.
I'm not a basher of Desmond Child. I have a lot of respect.
Well, so do I. But I've never seen
what he was managed to do. I just don't think this album's any good. I don't care who he works with. Bring in different songwriters. Everybody does it all the time.
But I've never seen any other album that every single song was written by him.
Yeah, that's true.
It's very interesting. That's why I remember I was fascinated by it. Not to interrupt you, Joey, but I am going to.
Well, you give him $500,000, you better show up with 10 songs.
They got, but like there's some ones on here. I did not like this at first, especially because, again, my blueprint was not this era. It was the old school stuff is how I came into it. But then when I come back to it, like, I think House of Fire is a good song.
Super strong.
I like... I'm Your Guns is probably my least favorite one, but Bed of Nails, Why Ken Trust
Roberts,
You.
Ken Roberts came back for Bed of Nails, and if you were a Circus or Metal Edge reader back in the day, you might recognize the name Guy Man Dude, who guest solos, I believe, on I'm Your Gun. So, I mean, like, you just check out the credits. It's fun. The
greatest stage names of all time.
Guy Man Dude, yeah. But, and I get, I mean, listen, Poison's not my favorite song, obviously, but I get the fact of why it's a hit. And
I don't.
It's super catchy. I think it's
so are candy bar commercials. It doesn't mean good.
But I will tell you that if you listen to Poison and listen to Snakebite on the next album, they're the same song.
That's true. There is some trying to replicate Trash.
Yeah.
But I guess we can lean into this. I will say, just for the record, I do like Poison. I do love House of Fire. Was happy to see it back in the set list last year. And
title track's good. I like the title track.
Easy cash.
Title track's good. It's fun to hear John cut loose. I'm sure he was happy to do it. John Bon Jovi. Yeah. And Hell Is Living Without You is the gem that no one talks about on that record. Go check that one out again. But Hey Stupid, much like Razor Fist and Yell, not a bigger hit than Trash by far. I don't think Hey Stupid even broke top 20 on the album charts. Trash broke, like, I think, top 10 records and top 5 single with Poison. Hey Stupid comes along during that year that everybody qualifies, well, this era was coming to an end. And yes, it was commercially. Hey Stupid is a far superior album to Trash. A matter of fact, I will go ahead and say, with the exception of something like a Dada or even From the Inside, Hey Stupid is the most misunderstood and underrated Alice Cooper album of all time.
It's got some great... Go ahead, Baco. Sound like you're ready to pipe in.
No, I was listening.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that it's a much superior album. This was a funny time when he was on this label. They just were just... was he on the same label for Last Temptation as well?
Yes, Epic did those three albums.
Makes sense because they had, you know, obviously they had Chris Cornell on that one too, and, you know, as far as a guest and everything, but they were just loading him with people.
Oh, man, this thing, I mean, if you think Trash has a lot of people on it.
More, I know, but, like, there's definitely stuff I like a little more than go ahead.
But it's more of an Alice album, despite the fact that 100%. It has more guest stars. It's more Alice, and that's that's what fans wanted, and I know I appreciate that.
Unlike the singles on this was obviously Feed My Frankenstein because of Wayne's World and stuff, and Hey Stupid, but I really liked this first singles. Love's a Loaded Gun, I thought was a great song. It's just a cool brilliant. It could have been didn't have to be by Alice even. It was just a good song.
Someday they'll put me in a squad car. Someday they'll throw away the key. But till that day, I'll be a mad dog. 'Cause that's what you taught me to be. You looked into the eyes of me. Trigger.
I'll go on a little bit of a tangent here. We talked about Only Women Bleed, but all the other ballads we haven't really talked about. Man, that guy can do a ballad. I don't care what people expect of him as far as his persona. That guy's got some of the greatest.
I Never Cry. Are you kidding me?
I Never Cry. You and me? Come on. You and me? How are you going to see me now?
I forgot to bring up You and Me. I love that song.
That is a beautiful fucking song and one of the most fun songs I've ever learned how to play on guitar. I still pick it up and play it because it's just gorgeous. Great arrangement.
Till the passion starts to rise. I wanna take you to heaven. That would make my day complete. But you and me ain't no movie star. What we are is what we are. We
We share a bed, some loving and TV, yeah. That's enough for a working man. What I am is what I am. And I tell you, babe, well, that's enough for me. Sometimes when you're asleep and I'm just staring at the ceiling, I wanna reach out and touch it, but you just go on dreaming. If I could take you to heaven, that would make my day. Makes me shiver to the bone, it shakes me, babe. Just a heartache that got caught in my eye. And you know, I'll never cry. I'll never cry. Sometimes I drink more than I need. Till the TV's dead and gone. I may be lonely, but I'm never alone. And the night may pass me by, but I never cry. Take away. Take away my eyes. Sometimes I'd rather be blind. Break a heart of stone. Open it up, but don't you leave it alone. 'Cause that's all I got to give you. Virgin, it ain't never been tried, and you know I'll never cry, and you know I'll never cry, and you know, dear darling, surprised to hear from me. Bet you're sitting, drinking coffee, yawning sleepily. Just to let you know, I'm gonna be home soon. I'm kinda awkward and afraid. Time has changed your point of view. How you gonna see me now? Don't see me ugly, babe, 'cause I know I let you down in oh so many ways. How you gonna see me now, since we've been on our own? Are you gonna love the man when the man
darling. Now I'm heading for the west. Straightened out my head, but my old heart is still a mess. Yes, I'm worried, honey. Yes, that's natural though. It's like I'm waiting for a welcome sign, like a hobo in the snow. How you gonna see me now? Please don't see me ugly, babe. 'Cause I know I let you down in oh so many ways. How you gonna see me now? Since we've been on our own, how you gonna love the man when the man gets home?
Yeah, How You Gonna See Me Now is one of the most heartbreaking songs ever written of all time. You know, and you even get up to Hey Stupid or Only My Heart's Talking on Trash. I felt that when I was in puberty, you know. And Die For You was pretty cool, too.
You got a follow-up for that one? Yeah. That's not the only – you're going to do
dude,
a boner
dude,
joke?
If you were making mixtapes in 1990, that was the jam, man. You know, you got Steven Tyler yelling at the end of it. I mean, come on. We glossed over that, you know. It's Joe Perry and Steven Tyler on that record. But, dude, yeah, Die For You is cool. Probably should have been a single, but Might As Well Be On Mars. I'll just go ahead and say that's my pick the whole era. Might As Well Be On Mars. Not only is it in my top five Alice songs ever, I think it's Alice's favorite lyric of all time. And once again, a Dick Wagner composition along with Alice.
And Child.
Yeah, Child did co-write that. Thank you. And I don't know who did what. But what other song is this epic? And it has a fucking double chorus. I don't even think Jim Steinman could ever approach something like this.
No, it's a massive song. Plus, that I'm assuming that Dick Wagner plays guitar on it, that middle part.
I don't know that he plays it. Yeah. I know Steph Burns played pretty much all the lead on the record, I think. And I know there's like, you know, Steve Vai, Joe Satriani, Vinnie Moore, they all play on it. But I think Steph Burns. I think Petrelli was gone by then. But yeah, I mean, just it's a perfect freaking song. That's another song I could play for people that are like, wow, didn't expect that. Might as well be on Mars. And the Hey Stupid record across the board for me.
City streets are wet with rain tonight. The taxi driver swerve from lane to lane. Lonely guitar man playing down the hall. Midnight blues coming through the walls. I tried to call you on the telephone. I left it off the hook just to hear it ring. You told me you were better off alone. I never knew that tears could sting. I'm on the roof and I'm staring at the stars. Looking down at all the cars. I can see you in the window of your favorite corner bar. But your reach is just too far. And I might as well be on Mars. The city seems so old and gray and beat. It closes in and makes me wanna suffocate. And you just live across the street. But that's a billion miles away.
Might as well be on.
Okay, so since we're on yours, so your favorite is that, and what's your favorite and least favorite album? I think we already know the least.
Hey Stupid, Constrictor.
Cool. What about you, Baco?
Well, my favorite, I think, didn't I already cover that?
You covered your song, but not the albums.
All right, my favorite is Raise Your Fist and Yell.
Okay.
And my least favorite is Trash.
Got it. Yeah, I'm going to go with... You know, I'm going to go with Wind Up Toy because it was his most crazy ass, you know, back old evil song, and it frightened me. And this one didn't frighten me because there's no blood.
And supposedly Alice wrote that about Steven Tyler. Fun fact.
What? I don't even understand that. How could it be about
him? I read that in a Rip magazine interview. He just likened Steven to a guy who doesn't stop moving around, and he's a wind up toy. So he kind of turned it into what if he went insane. Basically.
Gotcha. Yeah, I probably would say Freedom. It's tied between that and Freedom, but since that was already picked, I'm going with that. Wind Up Toy. Favorite album during that is, I would say, yeah, Hey Stupid, and least is Constrictor. Yeah. Yep.
Good man.
All right, friends. Thanks for listening. We really appreciate it. Next up, era number 5, what we are calling the Morality Era. We're covering Last Temptation, Brutal Planet, and Dragon Town. We'll see you next time.
Your cruel device, your blood like ice. One look could kill my pain. Your thrill. I want to kiss you, but I want it too much.
Maryland sports fans, there's only one sports book in the great state of Maryland with over 50 years experience booking bets and supporting customers. Betfred Sportsbook at Long Shots is now open and is the only sports book in Frederick offering cash betting on football, basketball, world soccer, and more. Visit the Betfred Sportsbook at I-270 and MD-85 in Frederick, right next to Long Shots Off-Track Betting. Go to BetfredSports.com for more information and your chance to win exclusive merchandise. Must be 21 or older. Play responsibly. For help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
All because of a fancy bike?
Not just bikes. We also make a rower.
Have you ever tried to row? Too hard.
Not with Form Assist. It actually teaches you how to row. So it doesn't matter if you're a first-time rower or a seasoned pro. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try the Peloton Row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.